What does one AFC South signing at receiver mean for fantasy football? Are the Kansas City Chiefs suddenly in the business of marketing great fantasy wide receivers? And what does the Keenan Allen trade mean for the Chicago Bears and more? Plus, the 11-time FFPC Dynasty champion, Mike Stiavnicki, joins us tonight to talk about everything pertaining to FFPC free agency, FFPC Dynasty, NFL free agency, Bijan Robinson, TJ Hockenson, AJ Brown, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman, kind of. Stick around. Your high stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men that need a lesson.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
Welcome, everybody, tonight. I do apologize for my voice in advance. This is going to be a rough one if you're going to want to listen to this. I am Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, and of course, the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I want to thank Rob and wish you a greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs tuning in tonight. This is the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. That is the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, much less than average tonight because my voice got hit with something and I apologize. I'm going to power through it. I powered through my afternoon talk show here on terrestrial radio in Northeast Wisconsin. We'll power through it tonight. My co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. I'm going to bring him on in a second. The 2024 Fantasy Pros Championship is live. This features a $1 million grand prize and a $6 million prize pool. Just go to myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com to play in that. You can also go to myffpc.com to play in the Never Too Early Best Ball tournaments. Those are both going on right now. There's two tournaments. They're going to run all the way up to the start of the NFL draft. They're going to conclude on April 25th. They're both gonna follow best ball slim rules. There's no kickers. You don't draft any defenses. It's a 20-round draft, 14-week regular season, 3 weeks of playoffs. We crown a winner after week 17. You can play with a 30-second, 60-second, 2-hour, or 6-hour clock over at myffpc.com. You want to play in the classic best ball never too early tournament with the FFPC. It's $125 to enter. You're eligible for a $25,000 grand prize. You want to play in the Superflex never too early best ball tournament with the FFPC. A $10,000 grand prize is available to you at just a $35 entry fee. Go to myffpc.com, pick up some Dynasty Orphan teams. Some of them discounted all the way down to $1. Great deals available there. And myffpc.com. If you want to play fantasy football 365 days a year, Bill Hollywood's in the chat right now. I know he knows about it because he was watching the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show last night on the Better Sports Network. Don't forget that numerous squads not only have had their teams lowered to $1 for 2024, but a lot lower than what they normally go for. So a lot of deals available, myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends and enemies. Get notified every time we go live like we are right now. More to come on that later on in the program. I want to bring in the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. Check out his contest, the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. Welcome in, Mr. Farrell Elliott. Farrell, a happy March 15th, 2024 to you. Thank you so much for hopping aboard tonight.
Buddy, I am overburdened with concern about your situation, but I see you have a remedy there. I was going to suggest Jameson and ginger ale, a tall one, over ice, which might help you. However, you can move on to bourbon in the seriousness of which this sounds. But nevertheless, we will power through it. I've never seen you like this, but You're gonna be okay. Balky is okay. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I'll say
not this. Much happened this week. It was it wasn't a lot going on.
There's a ton going on. Woo! And like the I don't know if it's just like me not remembering properly, but free agency seemed crazier than normal this week. We've had like 5 days to settle in right now. I will say I have done my local radio show with my voice like this prior, and I've been able to go through 2 hours. So to get us to 11 o'clock Eastern time tonight, I think I'll be okay. But you and their guest tonight, Mike Stiavnicki, might have to carry it a little bit more than normal.
I was going
to
ask you to sing tonight. You know, there are a lot of things that I had in plan for you. You know, Balky, you say the free agency is crazy, but I believe the free agency is working. I've always wondered when we were going to have a very, very active free agency. And I've always thought that certain players were left out of it. And I think that kind of player this year is actually in it. And, you know, we'll get to some of them later that you might ask about, and I'll point out some of those players. But teams help themselves, players help themselves, and I think that's what the system is supposed to reward. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not complaining about it at all. I think it's a lot of fun. It makes fantasy football more fun. It makes the draft more fun. It makes everything more fun when you have players switching like this. So
it's hard. It's hard to make fantasy football more fun when you play in the FFPC and when you're out there adopting orphans and feeling good about yourself. I adopted one, a $500 team for $19, and then I only had to put down half of the deposit, and I've already made two trades, and I've really improved the team. And you've gone very dark.
It's going to lighten up here pretty quick. Okay, so let's talk about – we'll lead things off with kind of the – most recent stuff, because I think a lot of the other stuff that happened on Monday, Tuesday has been talked to death. But
yeah,
let's get off with Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley said in his introductory press conference to the Tennessee Titans that he wants to run, quote, all the routes in the Titans offense. Quote, let me run across the field. Across the field, I'm a 4-1 guy. The Titans signed him to a 4-year deal worth $92 million. I believe it's like $50 million guaranteed. It's an insane amount of guaranteed money to Ridley. When he's talking about wanting to run all the routes, he's obviously implying here that he was not able to do that in Jacksonville and, quite frankly, maybe in Atlanta as well. In 2023, he was a boundary receiver. He saw a lot of low percentage passes from Trevor Lawrence. And if he is in the slot more in Tennessee and getting stuff over the middle, that's going to increase his efficiency. That's going to increase his fantasy viability here. I think that the presence of Treylon Burks doesn't change anything for me with Calvin Ridley in Tennessee. But the fact that they now have Ridley and Hopkins and Will Levis, now all of a sudden I'm paying attention. And oh, by the way, no Derrick Henry there, but they have Tony Pollard. Farrell, there's a lot to unpack with the Titans offense. I'll let you focus on Ridley, or if you want to talk about Hopkins or Pollard or Levis, that's cool too. But I think the Titans offense in 2024, much different than what we saw in 2023.
It's a team that's really improved itself and really made itself a focal point for fantasy drafters. And, you know, old school fantasy drafters might look at the situation and say, oh, there's not enough balls to go around there. Well, actually now – you have an offense that is going to be prolific. You know, we always wanted Pollard to be on the field with Elliott when they were in Dallas. Now I think Pollard and Spears, we may see some of that, not a lot of that, but we'll see some of it. We have an athletic tight end that the middle of the field should be open for. And what's his name, Balky?
For Tennessee?
Yes. Oh, I got you. Okonkwo.
Yeah, Chigasim Okonkwo. You caught me on it because I have not pronounced that guy's name.
Well, you were also attempting to swallow. Now, you know, so they're everything that everyone wants. So this is Rand Carthon, Indianapolis Colts, Florida Gator running back, son of the Maurice Carthon of the New York Giants. And he's the general manager. He was raised at the 49ers. He now comes into this team. And this is his first mark on free agency. And he's got a quarterback he wants who can spin it and is only going to get better. I see nothing but reasons to get in to the Tennessee Titans and get them on the draft board. And, you know, in Burks, it's interesting you bring him up. For a minute there, I thought we could see Dave Terp streaking across the screen. But, you know, I haven't even thought of Burks. And they also extended a one-year contract to Westbrook Akini, who I think is actually a better receiver in what they're going to have here. So I'm really fired up about Tennessee Titans. And so who is your number one guy in this group?
For me, it's
who you really want to focus on?
Listen, I know they're paying Ridley all this money, but I'd rather draft Hopkins over Ridley.
He had a lot of baggage that made us look away from his skill set. Plus, he had that group of receivers and they were an offense that really couldn't quite figure out what they wanted to do. I think here we know what they want to do. And I think Ridley, the best thing you can say about him is a great pass catcher. So, sure, he wants to run all the routes and the field will be open. And guess what? We haven't said a thing about Hopkins.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think it's important. I'll bring this up right now, Farrell. In the Never Too Early the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament, if I extrapolate down to post-free agency, which is something you can do over at FantasyMojo.com, at Fantasy Mojo and the X, Darren Armani puts together all this great FFPC drafting data, the Godfather of the Pros versus Joe's Challenge. Look him up at Fantasy Mojo on the X, FantasyMojo.com. You should subscribe to that. As far as the Tennessee pass catchers go, since free agency started, Calvin Ridley has actually nudged ahead of DeAndre Hopkins in ADP. Ridley is wide receiver 36, going at the end of the sixth round. DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver 41, at the end of the seventh round. I still prefer Hopkins, but it seems to me that the FFPC drafters now prefer Ridley.
I wish we were at Planet Hollywood walking down the long hallway and I was standing next to Bill Hollywood and he said, I'm just not a fan of Levis. And before we walk past the big table there, say hello to Chris and walk on into the room, I could have him a fan of Bill of Levis. So, you know, and I would say him to go back and take a look at some of those individual games. And I think he'll become a fan too.
You know, a lot of people were fans of Kansas City acquiring more wide receivers since Tyreek Hill got traded to Miami. And for whatever reason, the Chiefs have not obliged, but they probably have their biggest free agent splash signing as far as the talent level goes in Marquise Brown. As Adam Schefter reports, they have agreed with him on a one-year contract worth up to $11 million. Now, Kansas City, from a non-fantasy standpoint, has not needed receivers, Farrell. They have won the last two Super Bowls without Tyreek Hill. So you'd say if you're the Kansas City GM or owner, why are we looking to acquire wide receivers? But you can only fake it for so long, and they needed somebody here. They're getting Marquise Brown here, a guy who, you know, quite frankly, is not a perfect player. He was in Cliff Kingsbury's horizontal raid offense in Arizona and did not make waves. But there is nobody better in the wide receiver room in Kansas City now, other than Marquise Brown. The Chiefs went super conservative in their pass game the last couple of years as a result of not having Tyreek Hill. That benefits last year's high draft pick and Rashid Rice. I don't know how Marquise Brown figures into this, but certainly he should be a wide receiver 3 at worst in Kansas City this year. How do you feel about Marquise Brown and Rashid Rice, knowing that they're now teammates for the Chiefs catching balls from Patrick Mahomes?
Better than you do. Rice needs more help to clear out what he's good at, which is underneath, and he'll be very good at it. Kelsey caught 109 passes in the regular season last year, although people will tell you, and you might want to check that number, Balky, but I think I'm right. People will tell you it's only 5 touchdowns, and, you know, but there's nothing about his game that has gone away. He just played through injury in the middle of the season. Marquise Brown, coming into this offense, look at his value over what he is replacing. You take MVS off this team, you compare him to Marquise Brown. You know, what we're dealing with here, we take a focus to the quarterback. And I've been playing in a lot of our early FFPC drafts, both the best ball and the fantasy pros. And I noticed that everyone's waiting on quarterback, but people are waiting a little bit much too late on Mahomes. And look, with this addition, it raises the bolts of everyone in this offense. And most effectively, it's made one of the best quarterbacks we've seen even better. And that's hard to do. And they've got the guy that can do it. And so I congratulate them. It's worth every dollar they spent on it.
I'm looking at the never too early ADP. Now, again, this is post free agency. As far as the Kansas City wideouts go, you're looking at Rashee Rice, his wide receiver 12. He's going in the middle of the fourth round. And then as far as Marquise Brown goes, and this will change, it's still in the process of changing. He was wide receiver 45 at the 909. He is going to ascend a minimum of two rounds, probably more than that going forward, especially if you're drafting this weekend. You're going to be paying more of a premium for Marquise Brown. That's why we always encourage drafting early. We do have Mike Stiavnicki, the 11-time FFPC Dynasty champ, hanging out in the green room, gnashing on our shrimp and all the hors d'oeuvres we have put out for him. We'll let him fill up there just a little bit longer because I do want to get to this Chargers-Bears trade that happened late last night. The Bears giving up a fourth-round pick in this year's draft to the Chargers in exchange for Keenan Allen. Now, the Chargers had to cut salary. We knew they cut Mike Williams. They cut Keenan. Well, they didn't cut Keenan Allen, but they cut his salary. They get a fourth-round pick. They asked him to take a pay cut from his $18 million salary. He said no, and now he is a Chicago Bear. Farrell, it looks like as of right now, March 15, 2024, the Bears will be utilizing the number one overall pick on Caleb Williams. If they do that, Caleb Williams will be throwing to Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. He gets DeAndre Swift as an option out of the backfield. Let's focus this on Keenan Allen. This is his age 32 season. No shortage of soft tissue injuries the last several years, but the dude catches passes. He's reliable, sticky mitts. I was just looking this up today. I think 7 out of his last 8 years, he's gone over 100 catches or more. It's pretty crazy. What do you think of Keenan Allen and DJ Moore now, knowing that they're going to be teammates with the Chicago Bears?
I find it as an unusual landing place for Keenan Allen. I want to keep thinking about what made that happen. But, you know, Keenan Allen is a fierce competitor. He looks like a very easygoing guy. But when once that game starts, if you know, he plays within himself and he doesn't waste emotions. You can't catch 100 balls wasting your time on BS on the football field. But, you know, I can tell you this. If Caleb Williams is a quarterback, and if Caleb Williams doesn't get the ball to Keenan Allen where he wants to get the ball, we might see young Mr. Williams up in the stands crying to mama again, because he will make sure that this player will be successful. He'll challenge this player. This pick is not about the receiver core in this year. I think this pickup is all here. Ryan Poles is nurturing his future quarterback. Whoever it may be, and we think it's going to be Williams, but that gave me the clue that Williams will be the guy.
I think Williams is going to be the guy, and the Bears don't want to make the mistake of not putting enough weapons around Caleb Williams in his rookie year. Keenan Allen currently going, and again, this ADP is going to change, but Keenan Allen currently going in the FFPC Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament as wide receiver 24 at the 408. DJ Moore going all the way up as wide receiver 10 at the 208. You are not going to see two full rounds separate these receivers for very much longer. Get in right now if you want your Keenan Allen values. Stay away from DJ Moore because he will fall in future drafts. Let's get into tonight's guest here, ladies and gentlemen. This is a guy who has won 11 FFPC Dynasty Leagues over the years. He is coming in tonight to talk about what his plans are for continuing his dominance in Dynasty, the proper way to manage your Dynasty teams in this tricky spot between the start of free agency and the start of the NFL draft. He is the pride of Canada. I'm going to butcher his name right now, even though he believes I won't. It's Mike Stiavnicki joining us tonight on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Mike, welcome in. Thanks so much for joining us, dude.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. You did great, Balky. That was better than some family members say the last name. So you killed it. Very much appreciated and super excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And I mean, like you said, mid-March, and we're weeks away from cutdown, rookie drafts around the corner. I can't wait for some startups to launch, and I'm really excited to talk some Dynasty football. So thank you again.
Yeah, well, it's so much to have you on, or so much fun to have you on. And I first of all, number one, I apologize for my voice. I don't know what happened to it late last night. I did a 2-hour show last night and it was fine. And then afterwards, it just went to hell. I don't know what happened, but we're going to power through. And I think it's going to be great to have you on to talk fantasy football tonight. Before we get into the dynasty aspect of the show tonight, I want you to tell us a little bit about when you're not winning all these dynasty leagues, what are you doing for a living?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, I had to thread this one back into dynasty, but for my day job, I am the director of recruitment for a creative staffing agency. It's got locations around the US, Canada, UK. I've been there for about 12 years. It's the third longest relationship in my life, right behind my wife and fantasy football. In my job, I'm basically talking to people all the time. I'm navigating negotiations. I'm learning about people's professional goals, their challenges, their pain points. And I'm basically finding creative solutions to business problems by making talent matches. I spend my day kind of making phone calls, lots of outbound activity, phone calls, emails, reaching out to people, basically trying to drive opportunity and gather information. And that, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about numbers guys and a lot of financial guys in fantasy. Numbers kind of terrify me. So I take my work and kind of what I do, and I take that approach to fantasy football. And so I'm constantly sending out trade offers, at least 10 a day, all year round. I'm the first guy to the trade block posts when I'm trying to take advantage of actively shopped players. And around this time specifically, and I love you guys talking about this, I'm looking for new orphan team owners, and new orphan team owners typically create huge trade opportunities that might not have been there before. So just generally working in sales and working with people, I realize that people value the same things differently. And when you employ that to fantasy, we're all playing in these 12 people leagues, and people value the talent differently. They have different strategies. They value the picks differently. And they respond to trade negotiations differently. And I look at all of these things and I really pay attention, or try to pay attention, to how people operate across their leagues. And really this helps me just generally create productive trade conversations and capitalize on opportunities to move or acquire talent for prices that I like.
Mike, I think that this is so fascinating, because in your day job, you're trying to pair people up with the right situation. And I think you, as being an active owner who is sending out trade offers all the time, you're constantly getting information from the other people in your league of what they're looking for. And so you apply, and like, this doesn't always happen, but you apply what you're doing in your day job to fantasy football. I think the information you get, you're pairing up with, okay, I know what this person wants in a dynasty offer. Here's what I can give them, and here's how I can be benefiting from it. This is a really like good yin and yang situation for you, don't you think?
Really, they're both my day jobs. And my colleagues have seen me pop open my screen during work hours. And I've got two windows. I've got my work browser, and then I've got my fantasy football browser, and they're both sitting up there right now. So yeah, I mean, there's a perfect marriage here for sure.
And one complements the other. And Balky, that description was so eloquently put. And it just, you know, we're in the same business, Mike. However, when I have people on the phone, I'm always talking to someone that thinks they know more than I do. I don't know if that happens to you, but it surely happens in the football business. And I know you know a lot more than I do about Superflex. I have a tendency of staying up a little late at night. And the FFPC has a wonderful thing. You buy a Fantasy Pros team, and Balky, you'll have to tell the listeners when this ends, but you buy a Fantasy Pros team, and they give you a $35 team. So, you know, what are you going to do with a $35 team except immediately play it? And so I go and sign up for some sort of best ball tournament. I didn't even know you had these with 35. I should pay more attention to Balky. And I signed up for a Superflex. I've never played a Superflex in my life. And we're in the fourth round, and I think I know what Superflex means. It means that everybody drafts quarterbacks first. But I know that that's a simplistic, moronic answer. And you prefer to play Superflex, according to Balky and some guy named Armani. They're keeping the numbers right on you. So let me ask you, why Superflex? And
I really love playing Superflex Dynasty. That's where I spend, these days, about 99% of my time and FFPC dollars. And I really need to break it down to kind of two different things. And to answer your question, Farrell, Superflex, in my mind, single QB formats devalue the most important position in football. And before I ever joined the FFPC, before I ever even heard of the FFPC, my home league, Beast Mode, was actually a starting lineup of one QB, four wide receivers, three running backs, two tight ends, two super flex. So you can play three QBs and then one flex. And that's a starting roster alone. And so that basically created a situation where not even every team had three QBs coming out of the draft. So we really placed a high premium on the position. My older brother, Adam, I got to give a shout out to him. I'm actually hoteling in his house to do the podcast right now. Fellow FFPC player, guy who actually introduced me to FFPC. He's the commissioner of this league. And the concept's basically around kind of creating more appropriate positional value as it relates to the NFL. In the real NFL, QBs are paramount for winning. And in my opinion, fantasy should reflect the most valuable positions and certainly not at least undervalue the most valuable position in the game. I have to throw in a quick little plug here, a little correction that I did jump into some best balls also for the first time, really threw myself in last year and giving myself a shameless plug here. I came second in the best ball tournament number two. Shout out to my kids that the team was named after Princess Peach and the Super Mario Bros. But you are right. I love Dynasty, and that's basically the 365-day year engagement. To me, Dynasty is just the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah. There's never a dull day. I love the seasonal pattern. I love staying ahead of the important league dates, cutdowns, rookie drafts. I'm always trying to consolidate my assets, add high leverage draft capital. And ultimately, I think Dynasty rewards patience, bold draft strategies, high activity and knowledge. And, season long, we've all had a great season ruined by an injury here too. So, I just love that kind of patient approach to owning a team. But my favorite thing of all, times around the corner, is jumping into an 8-hour startup league draft. That's just such a flurry of trade opportunities. I love watching the aggressive strategy implementation of different teams, the race for market share of rookies, and these drafts just create such a rush of joy for me.
Love it. And we will have startup season coming up in the FFPC. Mike, when you talk about doing a startup, whether it's just a standard, whether it's a super flex, whether it's one of the RotoViz, TriFlex, Superflex drafts, do you have a set strategy going in of what kind of roster you want to build as the draft goes on?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of trying to move back, like just snaking through the draft a little bit and picking up draft capital. I always try and pick up, two, three first rounders if I can without giving too much value. I find if I can pick up, two, three, four, maybe round ones, I can still keep a competitive team that year. But I kind of have two things I wanted to talk about quickly here. One's just a test strategy. So the jury's out on this one, but in a TriFlex 100 league startup, I really wanted to push this one to the boundaries. I actually came out of the draft with 9 first rounders, 10 second rounders, and I didn't make my first pick until the 9th round. Now, I came 11th, so we need to temper that one a little bit. But heading into this season, I'm pretty excited. I've got Jordan Love, Trey McBride, and Jake Ferguson kind of as a minimal core to the team, but I've got the 101, 103, 104, 105, 106. 109, 110, 111, traded the 112 for next year's future, 201, 202, and it goes on. Kind of just every pick but the 209. And what's kind of cool about this league and actually just FFPC culture in general is that even the league mates whose draft capital I own, they're pretty excited to see how this one turns out.
I think that's fascinating too. I mean, to see, like, you know, to come in 11th, but have all this draft capital, you have a quarterback to build on, or you have a quarterback and two tight ends to build around. I think that's going to be fascinating as the season goes on. I do want to talk a little bit about some stuff going around the NFL. I noticed when I was looking at your profile on FFPC, Rondale Moore was a guy that you had a lot of in Dynasty, and he was in the news this week as he is in that rare player-for-player trade. Desmond Ridder goes from Atlanta to Arizona. Arizona sends Rondale Moore to Atlanta, and all of a sudden the Atlanta offense looks pretty good, man. Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, now Kirk Cousins there. Darnell Mooney they signed. Rondale Moore goes there as well. I know it's been difficult to try to figure out Rondale Moore's new Dynasty value. What's the info that you can share with us on him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Bulky, I've got a whopping 59% of Rondale Moore on my team. Wow. So he's definitely someone that I'd love to reduce that ownership and pick up some equal market value in picks. I mean, if that trade window for Rondale Moore ever came or went, I definitely missed it. I'm not sure it ever existed. And if you guys are saying it's now, then I need to get off this podcast and start sending out some offers again.
I think you can move to the drop player button for Rondale and have your most success right there. You know, it's interesting, Balky and Mike, that trade, Ridder for Moore, involved two residents of Louisville, Kentucky. So, you know, we've got those two guys in the league, and they're traded for each other. Okay, here's the Philadelphia Eagles. Every time I think about it, I feel differently about it. I really like what Barkley brings to this team. But of all the free agency moves, I think this has the widest of possible outcomes. And so I would be curious from your dynasty's perspective about my favorite Eagle, which is A.J. Brown. And I don't have this player in many places, and it's my experience that no one will trade him to me. I've tried. Perhaps I don't have enough value to give. I guess if I had some of your draft picks, I could acquire him. Your thoughts on A.J. Brown, Philadelphia, what happens, and who's going to be the backup running back in Philadelphia? Balky might have a line in on that because, you know, Barkley misses games.
Yeah, to me, sticking on A.J. right now, I mean, he's one of my guys. And so, Farrell, if he's on my team, you're not prying him away from me either. But that kind of goes for any wide receiver that's young. You know, Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra, Jamar Jefferson, CD, JSN. These guys are the guys that I'm trying to build around. But to your question, what's really interesting is last year, weeks 1 to 9, A.J. Brown's average weekly production, 22.6 points per game. And that just puts him into straight up elite territory. Mm-hmm. Weeks 10 through 18, that gets cut in half to the number, 11.3 points. And if you look at those numbers in a vacuum, it's concerning. Like, looking at the numbers alone, you could worry that AJ is going to fall off. But to me, like you had noted, the Philadelphia Eagles really imploded last year. That's an offense that just cratered the back half of the season. I'm not sure if that was culture or the scheme being figured out. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm hoping someone in Philadelphia is working hard to figure that out. And for me, whether AJ was on Tennessee or Philadelphia, I'm going to hold them everywhere. I'm actually interested in acquiring more shares, just like you. I've got 41% ownership currently, and I'd happily snag more. And kind of future forward, you know, I hope that offense corrects itself. But over his career, A.J. Brown's averaged 16.2 points per game. Over the past 2 years, the overall wide receiver 5, 17.6 points per game. I'm going to continue to invest, and I'm going to just expect what he's delivered for the rest of his career, for the his career thus far.
A follow-up question, Balky, because I'm trying to learn. May I? Mike, tonight I made a trade. I have Jared Goff, who was a cut candidate. And I'm looking at – and I get an offer, and I weed through it, and I go back to the guy, and I said, you know what? I have Devontae Adams. I'll trade you Goff for your aging receiver, Myers. Did I make a good trade? And your thoughts about acquiring – older players, because you talk about younger, faster. You're just like Rand Carthon at Tennessee. You want to be younger and faster. did I make a good move with that? My other quarterback is Stroud.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends if we're talking about super flex or not.
No, we're not doing the super flex.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I'm one and done with super flex. It was an accident. It was a pure accident.
Look, super flex, I'm all over Goff on that one. I think if Stroud's your locked in QB1, which I assume he is, and you need to address, your wide receiver position, sounds like you pulled the right trigger for you.
Is stacking in Dynasty a thing that you do? Or is it not even on the board?
Yeah, no, all the time. I'm a big fan of stacking. Couple teams, actually, with the Cincinnati stack, all the wide receivers and Burrow. Really stacking to the question, elite quarterbacks and their weapons together, stacking such a competitive edge when you're playing in a 12-team league, tournament style as well. But no, huge, huge fan of stacking and always cognizant of not overloading on too many options. Few teams I have a bit too much in Minnesota this year as well.
So let's talk about Pittsburgh here, Mike. A lot of people were excited prior to him being drafted by the Steelers. They were excited about George Pickens. He goes to Pittsburgh and has to play alongside Deontay Johnson. And now it's a little bit different because not only is Deontay Johnson in Carolina, but Kenny Pickett is in Philadelphia and Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh. I know there are some people out there saying that this is a huge bump for George Pickens. There's a lot of people out there saying, look, Arthur Smith is still the offensive coordinator there, and they're practicing a little patience. How do you stand on George Pickens right now with Arthur Smith as his OC and Russell Wilson as his quarterback?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I'm big on Pickens. I'm currently, again, sitting at 41%. But truthfully, this year, I don't really view that as any sort of a bump in production for Pickens. Not much of a QB upgrade, just kind of a change. And so I'm not out on Pickens. But really what I think, Balky, is that Wilson's acquisition has created a little bit of a value boost. And I'm a big fan of KTC. Over the past 3 days, George Pickens's value has actually gone up just under 10%. And he's someone that I'm actively shopping. My desired deal is a round one 2025 pick, ideally from a bottom six team in my league. And if I can make that part of a roster cutdown move, I'm really excited about it. From a production perspective, I think Pickens could see an uptick in total targets. And that's simply from the sheer absence of Deontay. But you mentioned it. I mean, a couple factors to kind of dampen expectations. One, for me, sorry, but Russell Wilson's a washed NFL QB. And two, Arthur Smith. He's coming off a regime in Atlanta that truly and maybe even intentionally killed fantasy production, poorly distributed targets compared to the kind of talent available on the field. And so really what I'm looking at more in Pittsburgh is lower cost acquisitions. I'm pretty interested in Calvin Austin. Don't get me wrong. Still love Pickens. I'll probably still own a lot more than Pickens or of Pickens than the average player. But he's someone that I wouldn't mind capitalizing on some of the buzz on.
Well, I looked at Kirk Cousins' contract history this week. I heard it, and I just had to confirm it. He's had 11 years of guaranteed money at the quarterback position. And now I really think he's got a guaranteed dare-to-be-great moment. And the things you've said about the quarterback position make me embrace Superflex a little more. One of the things that I don't necessarily like about redraft is players are always talking about how they can wait on quarterback and quarterback doesn't matter. And nothing could be further from the truth. Quarterback matters everything. And I love the future of all the young players that we have not been able to get our full value of in drafting. So that brings my attention to Bijan Robinson. You are not a numbers guy. You said you actually fear the numbers. So, I'm going to have you address your fears, sir. Give me some yardage on Robinson. Give me some catches on Robinson. And give me where you actually think Robinson will go in the first round when all us redraft guys are at Planet Hollywood in the FFPC in September.
Oh, that's a great question. And, just wipe
the drool. You have a great answer.
Thank you. I had to just wipe the drool from my mouth there and talk about Bijan here.
Me and Al Paul are wanting a great answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for Bijan. I mean, I'm really excited for Bijan. Just like you had said, Farrell, Cousins is a consistent producer. I think he's going to open up the offense. I think, just like you said again, long-awaited Kyle Pitts and Drake London. I mean, I hope all these guys really pick up Mooney, maybe even Rondell Moore. So I'm pretty excited about that whole offense. But I think what's most exciting there is Zach Robinson being the new coordinator, and just looking at, even to your question, what Kyren Williams did in that offense. Now, I didn't look at catches and I didn't look at yards, so I'd have to come back to you on that one, guys.
No.
Maybe you guys have some thoughts on that.
We're going to have that right now because I'm waiting for a number.
All right, I'm going to do some quick math for you. But looking,
it doesn't
looking
have at, to be a correct number. It just has to be a number.
I'm going to make it up for you. Just looking at what Bijan has done and how much more talented he is, you know, a little bit of numbers that I was playing with heading into the show. Kyren averaged 21.6 points per game, RB7, 12 games. You take that production, and this is why, like, people who love numbers are going to cringe on this one, but you factor that against a perceived talent gap of Bijan, you know, kind of put that over the course of a season. I've got Bijan potentially range of outcomes finishing as the RB1 with 441 fantasy points. Now, if I'm looking at yardage, that's got to be something like 1,400 yards rushing, you know, 450 yards of receiving yards. And then, I mean, catches, I didn't look at the numbers that much, but I'd say Bijan's a 60-plus catch guy, no problem, over the course of a season. So, you know, really, really excited, especially when you couple it up with Kyren's snap ownership, I think, was 82% when he was healthy. And so Bijan should be heading into a huge opportunity, a plus system. I think he's about to explode with some big numbers.
And I think that leads into my next question here, because as far as I can tell, Mike, when we talk about the best running back to own in Dynasty Fantasy Football, it's probably going to be a guy who's competing to be the number one overall running back this year. I'll throw in Breece Hall into this argument. We can involve Bijan Robinson based on what you just said. And I think, and you'll probably remind us, we shouldn't forget about Jahmyr Gibbs in this conversation either, right?
Yeah. Huge fan. I mean, you nailed it, Balky. Those three are my top three. And I mean, that's not a deep take. That's pretty much, I think, KTC, again, big fan, has those guys top three right now. I think it's Bijan, Breece, and Gibbs in that order. And I'd pretty much agree with that right now. But I think if anyone listening wanted to make a different argument for any one of those guys, put them in a different order, I wouldn't have much to argue to the contrary. I think Bijan heading into that situation, Breece with Rodgers, hopefully some more red zone touches, and Jahmyr Gibbs, just the way he looked in the back half of the season, I don't think you can go wrong with any of them.
I think that, so we've talked about running backs. We've talked a little bit about wide receivers. We have not focused, and this is an FFPC podcast, Farrell, so we do have to say something about one tight end. How about the guy in Minnesota?
And while at the combine, I stood right next to the tight ends coach, offensive contributor there in Minnesota, and I failed to ask him if he thought Hockenson would be ready. And he probably wouldn't have told me the truth anyway.
Oh, he wouldn't have told me that.
But you know what? TJ Hockenson and Kirk Cousins were the perfect marriage of opportunity for both of the players. And they both blossomed and shined in that situation. So now we have an injury question. Now we have a quarterback question. And Minnesota is just a team that right now seems to be the odd team out. Maybe they will answer these questions during the draft. I'm high on Hockenson. I can use him. I suppose if he starts the year on the PUP, we'll get him in time to use him down the stretch. But how are you handling him?
Yeah.
I guess for you, he would be a trade candidate. You might be trying to move him off your roster.
Yeah, no, quite the opposite, Farrell. Pretty happy with Hawk. He's actually heading into last season at the point of injury, another whopping 47% ownership. Huge, huge fan. And so I'm not interested in selling any shares. I would be open to acquiring them for sure, but really only would want to acquire them at a discounted price if you can find
buy
it.
In low.
Yeah. Not seeing that. Not really seeing that right now in the market. I actually haven't seen too many deals either which way with Hawkinson in them. But personally, and you brought it up, and I think it's a great point. You know, my reservations aren't around Hawkinson's ACL injury at all. I think it's just general questions in Minnesota. You touched on it. Cousins, fantastic NFL quarterback, uses his weapons properly. Sam Darnold, as things stand right now, I'm not sure he's a one-to-one replacement for the production. I mean, as we inch towards the season, maybe that situation changes. But right now, I'm going to hold Hawkinson. And candidly, just like mentioned at the beginning in the tight end premium format, I'm happy to hold shares of him, and I want to collect shares of him. Pitts, Laporta, Kincaid, McBride, any young tight end that's going to be in that tight end one production conversation for years to come.
Balky noticed that Mike said nothing about Irv Smith.
No, he did that. Yes, duly noted.
You didn't bring Irv up, Mike.
I'm not going to bring him up either. No,
I got suckered into that one too. Yeah, no, wish him well, Irv. Wish him well.
We do have one email that I want to get to here tonight. It's from Sean in San Diego here. And he says, hey, Mike, what do you make of the Michael Gallup release in Dallas? What does this do for Brandon Cooks and Jake Ferguson? Thank you for the email. We appreciate you, Sean in San Diego. So Gallup ended up getting released earlier today. And obviously Dallas will probably be in the market of picking up another pass catcher in the draft. But CD Lamb and Ferguson, are these the only guys we need to be worried about in Dallas? Or do we still need to be paying attention to Brandon Cooks for Dynasty right now?
Yeah, I think I'm always going to lean into the younger players. I don't want to get caught with players. I mean, love Brandon Cooks and what he's done in his career, but don't want to get caught with him on my roster at this point in time. I'm really, really leaning into, I mean, CeeDee Lamb is an absolute monster. So anywhere, anyone can own him, like by all means, get on that. And Jake Ferguson, I think, talking about draft strategies, I love loading up late in the draft on tight end. And last year you had McBride, you had Kincaid, Laporta was available in some early startup drafts pretty late as well. And Jake Ferguson was one last year. I think I had something around 55-60% ownership coming out of startup drafts. I want to scale that down a little bit. I never want to be that exposed to anyone, but great question from the listener. I'm all in on Ferguson and Lamb, and, you know, I'd happily sell or acquire Brandon Cooks at the right price on the right team.
Mike, I got a follow-up question with Mike. Mike, were you all in on Ferguson before you saw him? Because our challenged Balky tonight certainly was. And that brings me to the question, how much – evaluation of the rookies, how much Senior Bowl have you been watching, how much Pro Day have you been watching, how much college football do you watch to contribute to what you're doing in Dynasty?
So I was all in on Jake Ferguson prior to the season. You don't acquire that much shares without being that, Ed. But I can't say that I'm a big college guy. Up here in Canada, you know, the NFL, like, we don't have a team here yet. So, I mean, the NFL is enough for us, for me at least. And so I'm not really paying attention to the rookies all too much until about this time of year, reading a lot up on them. I love watching tape. But no, I mean, I think when it comes to college football and scouting some of these Devy prospects, I'm not your guy. I'm going to listen to a whole bunch of other people out there that know a lot more than me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that makes perfect sense. Farrell, and we'll lead into the final question for Mike tonight, the one that you always love to ask.
Oh, you know what? And you're a good scout. You're a good analyst. You see talent. I mean, even in Irv Smith, we can say this is a pretty good football player. And but that's an inside joke on the show. But can you find me someone? And I don't want it to be because of age. Can you find me someone who contributes that is a starter every week that you see dynasty players making a big mistake on? I don't know if can or can't. And then someone that you really, I mean, you shared with us a lot of guys where you have big ownership situations. maybe a younger player that you're looking to acquire.
Sure, yeah.
Build those ownership percentages.
Yeah, great question. I'll start with the veteran. I mean, the one name that sticks out to me is Travis Kelce. You know, and I think he's getting up there in years. There's no doubt about it. Back half of the season was pretty rough. Don't have all the numbers in front of me right now, but you know, he produced in the Super Bowl run, and he looks good. He looked like himself, quite honestly. And I think more so, just looking at the cost of acquisition for him, I've seen Travis Kelce get traded for the 205 straight up in this year's rookie draft. And you know, I don't know about you guys, but I'd take that. I was mashing mash accept on that one. I mean, to me, that's just an unreal value for someone like Travis Kelce, even if he rides into the sunset. And you know what? If I get him on my team and my team doesn't end up, you know, kind of producing the way that I wanted to that season, I'm confident I can trade him for the same or comparable value to someone as the playoff run starts. So kind of a free rental, free upside play with someone like Kelce. I'm also pretty excited about Cousins and Rodgers from just kind of filling positional gaps at a low cost at QB from a production profile and what they offer. On the young guys, I mean, I think it depends on if we're talking draft. Like I think everyone, I'm trying to get into the top seven. I'm going to be all over Marvin Harrison, Brock Bowers, and Neighbors. Still going to get a lot of Caleb May, Daniels, and Adunze, but really leaning into those first three guys. And then really from kind of player or rostered players last year, excuse me, I was way too underexposed to Tank Dell, Puka, and Jaden Reed. And so those are the guys that I'm just trying to get a little bit of acquisitions of. And I'm happy to pay market. I'm happy to pay over market for those guys. They're really exciting.
In buyer's situation, how high do you have to draft in the first round of Dynasty to get him? Not a startup Dynasty, but an existing league. How high, what do you have to have? Because you mentioned three wide receivers, and I bet they go first.
Just to make sure, rookie draft or startup draft we're talking?
There's rookie draft. I'm sorry.
Rookie draft. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to vary league to league, but I think you, if you're inside the 104, you should have a shot to get Bowers. I think at 103, he's a lock, in my opinion.
105?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends who's in front of you. And you know, I've got some work to do, gents. You know, I've got some work to do. I want to see some of the early ADP.
Well, you're obviously not spending enough time on it. So that's the problem here, is that, you know, you really need to, you know, focus is a good thing.
I don't for sure.
Yeah, focus. St. Patrick's Day in Canada is wild.
But yeah. So let me ask you this. And I think this is a horrible question to end on, because we could end up talking about this for 45 minutes. But when you're talking about trading players away, you know, prior to cutdown, I think you have an interesting standpoint in not only how you're trying to cut your rosters down, Mike, but the position of running back. Yep. You're really trying to cut down at that position specifically.
Yeah, really. I love the question. And that's it. You nailed it. I mean, and simply put, for me, running backs are the most volatile asset to hold through the offseason. You know, I really, this year, going into 2024, have about 7 to 9 targets, guys that I'm looking to own or retain ownership of or add shares of. Bijan, 41%, Breece, 29%, Gibbs, 47%, CMC, 18%, Taylor, 24%, Achan, 12%, James Cook, 24%. I've got a fair share of ETN, 29%, and Ken Walker at 24%. And I wouldn't mind coming off those last two guys a little bit. But everyone else, I'm looking to trade away. And basically, the essence of it is any running back by committee candidates. And I've moved a ton of Khalil Herbert for a round two pick or round three or more. Ty Chandler before Aaron Jones, very time-sensitive move there. Tons of R2 picks. Swift plus, in fairness, for a round one, and Ramondre has been a bit of a mixed bag of value, but really trying to move him. And to your question, 15 dynasty teams on my end, a total of 55 running backs owned right now. That'll go down, and that's an average of 3.5 running backs per roster. Wow. So that's absolutely the position that I'm focused on and looking to load up and stack up on those young wide receivers, those young tight ends, and as many solid quarterbacks as I can.
This is fascinating. So much. I mean, for anybody, we always talk about, you know, the last couple of years doing Dynasty 101 on these shows. And I feel like this was like 301 or 401 tonight from Mike Stiavnicki, the guy who has won 11 FFPC leagues over the course of his Dynasty career in high stakes fantasy football. Mike, so much fun. Very informative, entertaining. I learned a lot. I know Farrell learned a lot as well. I know you're going to crush it again this year, but I'm going to wish you good luck anyway. And thank you for making us a part of your Friday evening so all the viewers could check out what you had to say. Thank you so much again, my friend. Enjoy the rest of free agency and the NFL draft and, of course, the 2024 FFPC season. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. Pleasure being on.
See Mike. You, Mike. Mike Stiavnicki, the 11-time FFPC Dynasty League champ, hanging out tonight. So much fun, Farrell. I mean, like,
you guy, know, I like, think I can get Mike a job working in the NFL in the end.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hardworking. And, like I exchange emails with every guest that we have come on. I exchange a ton with Mike, and Mike was very well prepped for this interview tonight. Not saying the other guests are not, they are as well, but Mike went above and beyond to really educate and inform and entertain our viewers tonight. So much fun. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to wrap things up tonight because I got to rest these pipes. It has been like the first 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be a bigger challenge than I thought, but we got through it. Thanks to you and thanks to Mike. I want to remind everybody to check out the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Everything going on there right now. Now, Farrell, you have main event online starting. The slows are already going on. You're going to have live main events coming up in, like, what, 3 months or so, something like that. And there's plenty of action, like the big paybacks that are going off in August, the auctions that are going off in August, the I Want Vegas leagues that are going off. You can compete against me in the Dynasty Leagues at KFFSC. So everything that you would could possibly want to play over at KFFSC.com. I encourage everybody to check that out. Are you good? Because I don't know how many viewers we're going to get next Friday with the NCAA tournament going on. Are you good with a Wednesday show next week? Because that's what we're planning for right now.
Sure, Balky, whatever you want to do. And it's and the listeners, as far as the KFFSC is concerned, we'd love you to remember that it is first and foremost a live event. We want you to play online, but we want you to come here. Be with Balky, be with Don Erickson, be with all the guys that have had success and our returning champion. And you know what? You got to come over here and beat some of these old guys. Our champion 74, our runner up was 73. The guy that won the Sweet 16 is 79 years old. We had a celebration in the 70s. So, you know, some of these young guys that want to come in here and take it away from those fellas, this is your year to do it. But, you know, KFFSC.com, thank you, Balky, for bringing this up. And you know what? If you can't get registered, give me a call. And we'll figure out a way to make your play in Kentucky the best move you make of the year. And then, hey, we go on out to Planet Hollywood. And, you know, you let Mike get out of here for me asking him, does he ever do any redrafts? Does he?
I can tell you that I looked at his player profile. He has done exclusively Superflex Dynasty Leagues, except he did one best ball tournament entry this year so far. So there could be some redraft in Mike's future.
You know, we'd have to do a lot of work with him to get him on an airplane then to Las Vegas, I guess. But
I don't know how much work it would take. It might not be that much work.
Yeah, we might have missed an opportunity. Let's have him back in a couple months.
Yeah.
Let's have him back on the show.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You know, like the pre NFL draft Stiavnicki and then the post NFL draft Stiavnicki, I think would be very compelling as far as player evaluation goes. At KFFSC official, at J Farrell Elliott, and of course KFFSC.com is where you want to go. Farrell, thank you so much. I will talk with you again on Wednesday, my friend.
I look forward to it. Feel better, Balky.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that as well. That is J Farrell Elliott, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football. That will put a wrap on tonight's show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Mike Stiavnicki, Farrell Elliott, the FFPC, Rob, Bryce, of course, each and every one of you for watching, streaming, downloading, listening, viewing, however you're consuming this content. We appreciate it. I want to remind everybody that we will not do a show next Friday because of the March Madness tournament As is our routine, we will do a show on Wednesday next week at 10 p.m. Eastern time right here on these FFPC socials and the FFPC YouTube channel. In case you missed last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football show on the Better Sports Network, you can watch that at your convenience on any of the FFPC socials. Dynasty Depot's Nelson Verbit and I took a deep dive into NFL free agency and how it's affecting Dynasty Fantasy Football and how you can capitalize on maximizing the value of your assets in Dynasty Leagues in the FFPC. So check that out. And we will go live once again this coming Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. 2024 Fantasy Pros Championship is live. $1 million grand prize, $6 million prize pool. Go to myffpc.com to play in the Never Too Early Best Ball tournaments as well. They're going to run all the way up to the start of the NFL draft. 14-week regular season, weeks 15 through 17 are going to be playoffs. We'll crown a champion after that. 30-second, 60-second, 2-hour, and 6-hour clocks as far as how you want to draft in that. It's totally up to you. How fast you want to draft, how slow you want to draft, whatever works out best with your schedule, you can sign up for that. And, of course, myffpc.com, myffpc.com, your home of Dynasty Fantasy Football Orphans. Plenty of leagues to pick up there. We got teams for as little as a dollar. We have a ton of $250 teams. So if you don't want to go in at the $1,250, you know, the $2,500, the $5,000 level, just want to start off small, the 250 league is probably for you. Get a discounted team there and start playing fantasy football 365 days a year. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on this video, share it with your friends and enemies, and get notified every time we go live, which will be once again next Thursday on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then we will go, next Wednesday, High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, High Stakes Fantasy Football Show with the Better Sports Network. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Once again, I do want to apologize for those of you who missed the top of the show. I don't know what happened to my voice. It was good for the Thursday show last night. Maybe it's because I did 4 hours of radio yesterday and then another 3 today that my voice is bad. I thank you for putting up with it. I am very confident that we'll be back to normal next week. Thanks so much for watching, everybody. Enjoy the college basketball this weekend. Enjoy all the NFL free agency ADP changes in FFPC. A lot of fun to be drafting right now. Join in the fun right now on myffpc.com. Talk to you on Wednesday night.